Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, to start today's message, I would like us to open our Bibles to the book of Ezekiel chapter 14. I'll read verses 7 and 8. It said, "For anyone of the house of Israel, or of the immigrants who stay in Israel, who separates himself from me, sets up his idols in his heart, and puts right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity, and then comes to the prophet to inquire of me for himself, he said, I, the Lord, will be brought to answer him in my own person. He said, I will set my face against that man, and make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from among my people, so you will know that I am the Lord." Now, we have been speaking about this issue of the will of God for our lives and how to walk in it. And we have established a number of points which I will, for a minute, like to just quickly recapitulate. One, we have said that the will of God was written before we were born and actually were given birth to conform to God's will. That the will of God is not that which we consider good, though the will of God itself is good. We said the will of God is that which is pleasing in God's sight. And that if any man will want to know the will of God for his life, the specific will of God, he must have demonstrated before God that he's walking in the general will of God. We established that there are two steps to everything spiritual. There is the general one and there is the specific one. That is the general will that we read about from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That this is the will of God concerning you, your sanctification. And we broke down the meaning of the word sanctification in that context. So any man who claims to want to know God's will, what he must do is to be walking in the general will. Yes, we accepted that there is a specific will for each person, and that walking in that specific will is what guarantees you satisfaction in life. We said the will of God is not only good, it is acceptable, and it is perfect. And let me emphasize again, the will of God is not that which I consider good. The will of God is not that which is popular. The will of God is that which is pleasing in the sight of God. Do you understand that point? And I will now begin to study from Ezekiel chapter 14 that we read just now, that before a man can come to God and say, what is your specific will for my life? He must be shown to have conformed himself with the general will. And we said that this general will means that he has reconciled himself to God. He has, by the sacrifice of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, he has cleansed away his past and is now indeed a child of God. And that the next point which we began to emphasize before time ran out on us last time is this issue of idols in the heart. That this person must remove the idols from his heart. And we say, what are idols? We define what idols are. Idols are those things that try to usurp the position that God is supposed to occupy in your life. What is the position of God? We said the word God refers to the kind of position that he occupies. That is the person that you recognize as the creator of the heavens and the earth. That God indeed does not have a proper name. Are you getting my point? That God can only be known by the influence he has had in the lives of people. Therefore, when Peter wanted to describe Jesus Christ, he said, God anointed him and he went about doing good. That is, the God that anointed Jesus is the one we are talking about. So Paul, when he wants to talk about that God, he will say, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What am I saying here? That this God doesn't really have a name per se. You can only know him by the relationship he has had with men. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So you see, he's the God of Abraham, he's the God of Isaac, and he's the God of Jacob. Are you following what I'm saying? But when you use the word God, what are you saying? You are saying that he was a provider for Abraham, he was a provider for Isaac, he was a provider for Jacob. That is, you say he was the fear of Abraham, he was the fear of Isaac, he was the fear of Jacob. Are you getting my point? If you say he was the one who owned the life of Abraham, who owned the life of Isaac, and who owned the life of Jacob. So when we use the word God, we are saying that there are functions that that office takes on. And anything that we want to give that function to, apart from God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who indeed is the creator of the heavens and the earth, who the Bible says still rules in the affairs of men till today, who the Bible makes very clear that he's taking everything over to be subject to the counsel of his will, that God, if you give anybody anything, the function that is supposed to perform in your life, that thing that you have given that function is an idol. It's what one of my friends would call an acting big man. It's an acting God. It's not the true God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? So we said that the main problem God has with mankind, let me emphasize that again today, is when they go after other gods apart from God. Now, God, the gods that they go after don't have to be idols. It does not have to be things carved. Are you getting my point? Other gods can be human beings. There are people who, because they believe that this man is rich and can make them prosper, they will rather please him than please God. They will displease God trying to please one man. That is, they have given that man the position of God in their own lives. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And God said, anyone who is doing this, the woman cannot come to me and say, what is God's will for my life? Because God no longer has a will for his life. Because the person who you fear is the one that has the responsibility to take care of you. Are you getting my point? My neighbor's child cannot come to my house to ask for school fees. He's not my child. You follow my point? That is, it is your father that has the responsibility to give you school fees. Therefore, if I am going to ask God for his will, which is like school fees for my life, then I must show that is indeed my father. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? So we said those idols set in the hearts of men are the main reasons why they cannot walk in the will of God. We gave a number of examples last time that if you are not walking in righteousness towards the opposite sex, you shouldn't come to God to ask for the will of God concerning a marriage partner. If you are not walking in business righteously, you shouldn't come to God and ask for his will concerning your life when it comes to which business you should go into. These are the issues we have to understand. And one thing I want to emphasize today before we close today's teaching is that issue of walking into the will of God when the idols are not there. Are you getting my point? See, one thing you have to understand is this. God's issue with men is other gods. That is, he's always concerned when there are other gods in your life. The reason being that the walking of God is actually spontaneous, automatic in a life where there are no hindrances. Now, if you read Isaiah chapter 40, you will understand what I'm trying to say. There, Isaiah explained one principle. He said, bring down the mountains, elevate the valleys, make a straight and express road for our God. In verse 5, he says, automatically, the glory of God will be revealed. So what am I saying here? That the labor you have to walk into God's will actually is to remove those idols from your heart. Are you getting my point? Once the idols are not there, you will find yourself walking automatically in the will of God. Solomon says something. He said, this also I have discovered, that God made men upright, but they sought out many devices. That is, men will have found themselves walking automatically in the will of God, except that they have sought out many devices. Are you getting my point? Now, there's something we have to understand. Please listen to me and listen to me very closely what I'm saying here. The will of God is not always a matter of, I have come to know the will of God. I have come to now understand that step one, step two, step three are the will of God for my life. No, the will of God actually is something you walk into naturally and spontaneously if your life is entrenched in the will of God. You get my what I'm going to say? That is, the will of God is not a specific issue. It's a whole life. Are you getting my point? I didn't want to say this at the beginning so that we will understand it properly. What God is saying is this. The will of God is not marriage. Who do I marry? Car, which one do I buy? Business, which one do I do? No, it's a whole life. And inside that life, there will be marriage, there will be business, there will be car. Are you getting my point? So what you are supposed to do is to reconcile fully back to God and remove idols from your heart. And you will discover that at every time, you will find yourself walking in the will of God. And I said something at the beginning, that it's possible to walk in God's will all the time. It does not mean you wake up in the morning and then you start saying, so this is the will of God. I have now found out. No. Oswald Chambers says something. He said, to be in the will of God is not a matter of intellectual discernment, but a state of the heart. He said, to a sanctified soul, the will of God is his implicit and natural life, as natural as breathing. He said, listen, it is the sick man who understands, intellectually speaking, what health is. That is, most of us don't know what it means to breathe. Until somebody calls your attention to it, you just breathe normally. He now went ahead to say, he said, in the same manner, it is a sinful man that can understand this one is God's will, this one is God's will, and starts running towards it. He said, for the one whose heart is sanctified, the whole life is an expression of the will of God. Are you getting my point? He now went ahead to say something. Oswald Chambers, I'm still quoting him. He said, if you are born of the Spirit of God, your whole life, now I'm paraphrasing his expressions so that you'll be very clear, because he used to write in very old time English. All right? He said, if you are born of the Spirit of God, your life is the will of God. And your ordinary common sense decisions are God's will for you unless he gives you a check. Are you getting the point? He said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind so that you may make out this will, not in your mind, but in practical living. He said, when you become rightly related to God, you are the will of God in disposition. And you live to work out God's will. He said, it is the freest, most natural life imaginable. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That brings me to the point we started from, Romans chapter 12. What did he say? Paul said, I urge you, brethren, to present your bodies to God as a living sacrifice. He said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, what am I explaining here? That the problem, you know, Bible talk about the God of this world. The problem with the children of God is that they have begun to serve the God of this world. That way they cannot discern the will of God. They are no longer walking in God's will. We talked about the idols that men serve. Remember last time I gave a very practical example that sometimes people come and tell you, what is God's will for my life in marriage? Yet they say, I can never marry a girl that's from this place. I can never marry a man that is from this place. And God said, henceforth, we know no man according to where they come from. Are you getting my point? A Christian who goes around saying, I can never marry from here, I can never marry from there, is one that will never discover God's will. There are the people that start dividing the will of God into the acceptable form. That some of these things just acceptable, this acceptable will of God. When the Bible uses the word acceptable will of God, it was saying acceptable with God. And only the perfect will of God is acceptable in his presence. Are you getting my point? Listen, the time has come for you to cut away the standards of your society and step into the standards of God. Remember, we said the will of God is not that which is popular. Are you following what I say? The fact that something is unpopular does not make it not the will of God. And the fact that something is popular does not automatically make it the will of God. The will of God is simply that which is pleasing in God's sight. Listen, if you have this heart attitude that wants to walk in a manner pleasing to God, you will discover the will of God easily. Like Oswald Chambers says, he said that your ordinary common sense decisions, let me tell you the way I take decisions. I pray about a matter. There's one thing that Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3. He said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Now, you know, there's one thing people don't understand there. They think direct means that God will give you a description. Say, when you get to that junction, turn right. When you get to that junction, turn left. No, this is how God directs your path. When you get to the junction, he will close all the other roads apart from the one he wants you to pass through. Are you following what I'm saying? It is not as if you say, look, you must go. No. He said, I will direct your steps means that if you are supposed to step into trouble, you will miss the appointment. I will spoil your tire. You won't get there on time. That is why I don't worry when things don't go well. Because the Bible says, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, listen to what somebody explained to me once. He said, when you look at them individually, they may not appear like good. But when you look at them together, they are working for good. So if I wake up in the morning, my tire is flat, I will put my hand on the tire and rejoice and thank God and begin to jack it. Are you getting my point? That indeed there is an appointment that I must miss. So this tire has gone down. And listen, you've heard me say this again and again. I don't believe that opportunity comes but once is the gospel of God. It is not. The opportunity that's my opportunity will go and come back if I'm not at home. The opportunity that is mine will wait for me until I get there. My blessing can never go to another person's house. Are you following what I'm trying to say? He said that he will direct your steps. What that means is that when you get to that junction, you will find all the other roads not passable apart from the one that God wants you to walk on. It's a personal thing. The Spirit of God will be inside you engineering these things. Look, a nice girl, in quote, that you are supposed to meet and marry, we for one reason or the other, she will annoy you that day And or no, you will, without intending to, you will anoint her the day you are supposed to meet it, and she will pour oil on your shirt, and you will become afraid that this will be a bad woman. They will say she's very nice. No, but God has directed your steps with oil on your shirt that this one, no, I'm not coming back here. Do you get the point I'm trying to make here? That's what it means. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Commit your ways into the hands of the Lord. That's what he's trying to say here. That is when your whole life is committed to God. Remember, we laid a foundation in the last many episodes. We kept on explaining, you must be united back to God. Jesus must have cleansed your heart. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. You must remove all the idols from your heart. Stop talking all the nonsense talk. If I don't get to America, I will never prosper. If I'm not prospering because I did not study this course. God said, promotion does not come from the east or the west or from the south. He said, but God is judge. He's the one that lifts up one and brings down another. Are you getting my point? What does east and west mean? East and west means that what is the surrounding circumstances in the place where I live? What's the price of the dollar? Is there a crisis in the Niger Delta? Are you getting what I'm saying? That is east and west. He said, or south. South means where am I coming from? Who's my father? Which degree do I have? Which education did I have? Which school did I go to? Did I go to a big school or I went to one backward school in one backward village in one backward state? That is, where am I coming from? What's my background? Notice the word south. That is, once I'm facing the north, the Bible said Mount Zion on the northern side is the city of the great king. It said from there, God commanded the blessing. Blessings are commanded. They don't go spontaneously. God tells them, go in this direction or go in that direction. God said, if you believe this, I will direct your steps into the place of appointment, of the proper appointment that I have for your life. It is not like I will tell you that, turn here and don't turn here. Listen. God said, you will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Only when you turn to the left or to the right. That is, the mercy of God will correct you back into the path of righteousness. Look, what God does is to keep leading you. Like Oswald Chambers said, you will find out that the natural common sense decisions you will take after you have satisfied all of these will be the will of God. My favorite example there, the day a brother asked me, he said, Pastor Banky, I said, what? He said, did God speak to you about the wife you're supposed to marry? I said, yes, he did. He said, how did he say it? I said, the officiating minister said, I pronounce you man and wife. He said, I pronounce you man and wife. I said, that was the voice of God. Until that day, did he know it was the will of God? I said, I married the girl I liked. And I asked her to marry me, and she said yes. That means she also liked me. Two cannot work together except they agreed. She and I agreed, so we decided to get married. And I saw her father. Her father said, it's okay. I told my father, he said, no problem. All things work together for our good. It was obvious we were in the perfect will of God. And the final confirmation was the final day. He said, according to the authority vested on me, I pronounce you man and wife. I said, you have well said. You getting my point? But the issue there is that I was walking in the perfect will of God for every other thing. Are you getting my point? What am I saying here? Christians have a problem here. They love to learn principles of how to hear God, how to pray until their spirit becomes quiet, and then the voice they hear. I like one thing Kenneth Hagin said in one of his books. He said God told him that there is a voice of the evil spirit that sounds very much like the voice of God. If you are used to hearing voices, better wake up. People want to train themselves that how do I recognize my spirit, my spirit. I had a discussion with a brother once. He said he would pray until his spirit tells him something. In my mind, I said, you obviously don't have much to do because this one of waking on who do I talk to tomorrow morning? You pray. Who do I buy something from in the market? You pray. Which car do I buy? You pray. Should I go to toilet? You pray. Why does a man go to toilet? He has an urge. You understand what I'm trying to say? Why does a man eat? He has a feeling of hunger. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Listen, there's a time will come in your life, that kind of feeling, when your whole life has been sanctified, becomes the voice of God. Jesus used to respond to people's needs because of compassion. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Let's forget this issue of, have you prayed enough? What did God say to you? Look, I am one person that I'm so skeptical when somebody says, God told me to do this. I have seen people who will tell me that,
God did not tell me to do this business. Yet, he forgot to tell you whether God told him to come and beg you for money. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That a man should rise up and do what is good. And stop hiding behind, God said. When in reality, God has not said. Look, what I'm trying to explain to us here, I'm not saying God does not say. I am saying that it is not something you wake up in the morning looking out for. What are you supposed to do every day? Wake up and reshape your life according to the order of God's word. The one that is clearly written. The one that everybody can understand. When you have done that, and let me emphasize this again, and you have removed the idols from your heart. Oh, these idols are terrible. God will give somebody prosperity on the platter of gold. Maybe in the form of a wife or a job. But the job is not in Lagos. It's not in Port Harcourt. It is not in Abuja. His idol is that in Nigeria, those are the places where money is. And the angels will weep because they could see beyond him. Are you getting my point? And they know that, if only this guy had taken this, in 10 years' time, he will be giving out jobs in Abuja. He will be giving out jobs in Port Harcourt. He will be giving out jobs in Lagos. That he thought prosperity was from east or west. He thought prosperity was from the south. Are you following what I'm trying to say? He has forgotten that God is judge and that same God can lift you up anywhere. Idols. I have seen people before that God gave them excellent wives. Well, at least I think so. And I know because the one they chose rather became a witch in their house. Pardon me to use that word. There's no better word to describe such things. But what is their problem? I don't like dark ladies, so I don't like fair ones. And you make a judgment for life based on complexion. Listen, there's one thing that Paul said we must learn. If you read Philippians chapter 1, he said you must learn to approve the things that are excellent. Talking about idols. Listen, Oswald J. Smith said something. He said there is an expulsive power of a new affection. What am I saying here? That is, if you are going to push idols away from your heart, it must be because you imbibe new standards. Do you get what I'm going to say? That is, start approving the things that are excellent. Learn qualities that make for real living. Then idols will drop away from your heart. For example, instead of looking out for where money is not. If you look out for where you can be a blessing, do you know you will find it easier to get into the heart of God concerning the will of God for your life? People say, in this place, everything is perfect. I said, my own issue is, what is my assignment for God? Because when you say somebody is a man of God or a servant of God, what it means is that he's on assignment. And listen to me, don't fool yourself that you're a child of God and that everything is all right. Go and read the scriptures. Well, God never reckons with children that are not servants. So what do you mean? The prodigal son's father had how many sons? Two. And that, when you see two like that in the Bible, God is trying to contrast something. When you see Esau and Jacob, God is trying to tell you, check the differences between the lives of Esau and the life of Jacob. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? When you see those two sons, God is trying to tell you, choose one of the two. Which one are you going to be? The first son that was not prodigal was known for being a serving son. He said, all these years I have been with you, neither did I ever transgress any of your commandments. And the father said, you know the meaning of that? All that I have is yours. To slaughter one ram to make you celebrate is not the issue. This whole estate is your own. I am celebrating the birth, that is the rebirth of a boy that was lost. That's what causes for celebration. You are a living man. You are a man of authority. I don't need to kill a fatted calf to show you that you are there. Are you getting the point I'm making here? Both of them were sons of the same father. But one who refused to serve, automatically his life became prodigal. Paul wrote concerning Timothy. He said, he has served with me in the course of this gospel as a son that serves his father. That is what God looks for. Read Malachi. He said that I will spare them like a man spares his son that serves him. Because the Jews understood that there are two kinds of sons. There are prodigal sons and there are sons that serve. What am I saying? The one that said, give me my inheritance, let me enjoy. Tell me the place where blessing is flowing. It's a prodigal child of God. The real child of God said, where is my assignment in life? Where is my assignment in life? One of my friends, a pastor in my church, said something to me one day. He said, one day I was preaching and I helped him make a decision that he was about to relocate because of where blessing was flowing. He said, then he heard me preach saying, where is ministry? Where is your assignment? That's what God is saying. He said, he dawned on him that where he is right now is where his assignment in life is. That is where his ministry is. And you know one thing about life? It is because he's doing that ministry that's making God call blessing to him from everywhere. I told you blessings are commanded. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Listen, if you have this right attitude, do you know the will of God is a simple thing? All this of God, what is your will? What is your will? They are prayers of sinners. I'm sorry to say. Oswald Chambers said that those who are not used to working with God, they are always asking, where is the road? Where is the road? For those whose lives are united to God, the Bible says he will direct your steps. I told you, directing doesn't mean I will tell you where to go alone. No, it means that when you get to a junction, I will close all the other roads, make them impassable. The day you are supposed to enter that road, there will be earthquake further down, they will close it. Until you have no choice but to go to the place I want you to be. David Livingstone came to Africa, not because he wanted to come to Africa, but because there was war in China. The Opium War broke out. The man has set out to go as a missionary to China. Then they called him and said, oh boy, why don't you go to Africa? And he became the legendary Livingstone that we know today. That is what is called directing your steps. Do you understand my point? Listen, the will of God is possible for a man to walk in it at all times. It is very possible. You can be in the center of the will of God all your life. You know, it doesn't mean that you wake up in the morning and you will hear a voice saying, my son, thou shalt arise. Today is the day of breakthrough. No. No, what does it mean? It means that your whole life is lived in the pleasure of God. Do you understand my point? Listen, this is the power of grace. God takes it as a responsibility to lead you in the path of righteousness for his own name's sake. He said, it is God that is at work within you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. That is, God will cause the willingness to be in your heart. I read the story some time ago. I heard somebody narrating it actually. About a man who needed something urgently. And I just felt something in his heart to go in a particular direction. He didn't understand why. But there was an urgency about it, so he moved. When he got there, there was nowhere else to go. Then he remembered that he was hungry. No, he just saw a fast food joint and a branch and sat down. Meanwhile, God was setting him up for something. Now, the person that God was sending to bring that thing to him saw the signboard, fast food, and realized they were hungry. And they stopped to eat. And as they entered the place to eat, they saw the man there. I said, what are you doing here? The man said, I was looking for something. I don't know where to get it. He said, this is what you are looking for. Our boot is full of it. That's what he means when he says, I will direct your steps. I will give you hunger at strange times. Do you get what I'm going to say? He said, how did you find out? He said, I just felt like eating. Yeah, but no, you normally don't like eating things like that. He said, that day, man, that woman saw cross soup, just they hungry me. Now I just enter that shop. He said, you two, they enter my put. I said, I just entered. See, this man said he has been looking for me for 4 days. I told you, your blessing will wait until it finds you. Amen. Do you get my point? Listen, the will of God is good. The will of God is acceptable. And the will of God, it is perfect. Do you understand that? All right.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.